I had to have open heart surgery again. The last time I had no warning, but this time, because I was wearing this heart rate monitor, I saw it coming. And
hi, this is Amy, the senior group fitness instructor at the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast. Are you looking for a spark of inspiration to bring to your next class? Find us at indoorcycleinstructor.com.
Happy New Year. Welcome to the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast. I'm John McGowan, your host, and this is the very first episode of 2010. Now, before I get to the feature interview, I have a quick question for you. Are you receiving the proper care and feeding you need to excel as an indoor cycling instructor? Is the company that trained and certified you delivering a continuous flow of the latest training information, personal motivation, class profiles, music suggestions? Or did they just smile and wave as they sent you out the door to teach your first class? And then did it seem they only contacted you when it was time to renew? Jennifer Sage and I created Indoor Cycle Instructor Pro to pick up where your initial certification left off. To find out what our ICI Pro members are raving about, we're offering a 7-day free trial. But don't wait. This trial offer is only available to January 15th, 2010. Visit indoorcycleinstructor.com/pro to claim your free membership. Now imagine you started distributing a product that ended up saving your husband's life. That is our interview today, and I'll just roll right into it. Joining me today is the husband and wife entrepreneurial team of Eric and Melinda Adams from Salt Lake City, Utah. They're joining me via Skype. Eric, Melinda, welcome to the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast.
Thank you very much. We appreciate being here.
Hi, John. Good to talk to you today.
Hey, well, it's fun talking with you guys. You know, first, I need to thank you for sponsoring this episode.
You're welcome, John. We're very excited to get to visit with you today and to share our story. And we feel that cycling instructors are the best way for us to be able to market our product and to bring heart awareness to the public. And we're extremely excited to be able to use your podcast to do that.
You guys have quite a story, and it really starts with you, Eric, as an Ironman distance endurance athlete. Can you give me just a little background of your athletic pursuits?
I guess back in 1998, I was about 70 pounds overweight and started running to just lose weight, and honestly got a little bored of running, and so wanted to add cycling to it and some swimming, and started doing triathlons and did 3 Ironman races before I started having some issues.
Okay, to explain to everybody what those issues were. You guys, and so I tell everybody, you know, at your website, cheslick.com, it has a very compelling story with some kind of heart-wrenching pictures, actually. And but you found out that you had a problem.
Yeah, back in 2006, it was the week that I was supposed to fly up and do the Ironman up in Coeur d'Alene. I trained for 9 months, and just in that last week, it's kind of strange. I was experiencing some chafing issues. I was just going to kind of ignore it, but Melinda, she kept hounding me to go to the doctor. And so a few days before I was set to fly up to Coeur d'Alene, I went to go see the doctor for these for a skin problem. Went in, and, you know, anytime you go to the doctor's office, they take your blood pressure and your pulse, and he did mine, and my blood pressure was 130 over 50 rather than what it normally was, 120 over 80. And he didn't really say anything, so I was just going to ignore it. But as I was leaving, I kind of turned back and said, you know, why is my blood pressure so different? He says, well, let's take it again. And he took it again, and it was still that weird number. And so he listened to my heart and asked me, wow, how long have you had a murmur? And I said, well, I don't have a murmur. And he says, well, you have a bad one. I says, well, this was Tuesday. I said, Thursday, I'm flying up to Coeur d'Alene to do a race. Should I get this checked? He says, well, let's get you in Thursday morning. And so went in and had an echocardiogram, and they found out that my aorta was about 8.5 centimeters wide. Normal is about 2.5.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And normally they break at about 6. So I was kind of on borrowed time at
break,
that point.
Break meaning explode.
Yeah. Yeah. Explode's yeah, probably a good word. It's just an aortic aneurysm is what they called it. And my aorta had gotten so big that it was stretching out my aortic valve to the point that a couple days after that, they had to do open heart surgery and replace my aorta and my aortic valve.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, now, Melinda, you've got your husband's getting ready to go to an Ironman distance triathlon. He's Superman as far as you can see. The next thing you know it, he's heading off to OR. What were you doing on all that?
Well, you know, when he first went in to have the echo, and I just thought, oh, they're, you know, it's going to just be routine and nothing. And he didn't call and he didn't call and he didn't call. And you kind of get that eerie feeling that something's not right. And he called me and just... When he told me at first, you know, I thought maybe he was just joking, but I could then hear how upset he was, and I was just in disbelief. I mean, you just don't expect that when someone's in that great of shape and training the way that he was. And so it was a little nerve-wracking that whole weekend, even just waiting for the surgery, because the doctor told me, you know, we're going to do all that we can, but unless he's on that table with his chest cracked open and a clamp on that, when that bursts, he will die. So, you know, just even waiting that weekend, just knowing it was kind of a ticking time bomb was, I didn't want him to move. I just wanted him to lay down. And
oh, I can imagine. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh.
Well, what was really upsetting to me is I had already shipped my bike up. And so I was worried about my heart, but also worried about that bike.
Of course you were worried about your bike. Yeah. What a guy thing.
It's very, very concerning to not be there to receive my bike.
But... I'm sitting there worried I'm not going to have a father for my children or a husband. And
oh, my gosh. Okay, so you had your echocardiogram on Thursday, and then your surgery was when?
I think it was
Tuesday
of the next week.
Oh my gosh. So you did have a little waiting to do.
Yeah. And that was tough. You know, I took my kids to this little amusement park where there were bumper type cars, and you know, this kid kept ramming into me, and I thought, you know, take it easy. I'm fragile. So, but yeah, it was a few days of, you know, when they tell you your aorta's bigger than when it's what it's really possible to be, and then they give you a few days to think on it. That was
My gosh, yeah. Sometimes not knowing is the best thing. All right, so in your surgery, what was it that they ended up having doing?
They replaced my valve with a mechanical valve. I had a choice between a mechanical valve or a pig valve, and the pig valve wears out, and so. I wanted a mechanical valve, although that has drawbacks as far as it makes a ticking noise. I don't know if that's coming through on the mic, but it's a ticking noise, and I have to be on blood thinners because of the mechanical nature of it. And then there's a Dacron tube for my aorta, the part that was stretched. So,
wow.
I thought everything was great and actually got back into training a fairly short time after, trying to remember. I think the doctor made me take 8 weeks off. Kind of got right back into it. And my cardiologist, you know, he didn't really give me a lot of limits. He told me I couldn't lift any weights, and he told me to keep my heart rate under 150.
Okay, and enter the heart rate monitor.
Right. And so I started being a religious heart rate monitor wearer. And I actually have the type that's a fabric type of heart rate strap. What was troubling is I was, you know, so intent on measuring my heart rate, but it was always a pain to get this thing to work.
And I have the same thing. I've got a new one, the new Polars, but it does have a problem in that I think the problem is the old plastic straps, you know, they contain the sweat and everything. So it made a good connection.
I wanted to wear it, and it was important that I wear it. But a lot of mornings, to be honest with you, I just didn't want to deal with the process of getting this thing going. I'd get this thing soaked in the morning, but inevitably I'd be licking it or spitting on it or something during the workout. So it was becoming a struggle.
Well, and of course I being the worried wife and not wanting, there was the possibility that he could stretch out in another spot, part of his aorta, the doctors had said. And so, I wasn't liking it if he wasn't going to wear it each day. I mean, we would go on a run, and if I could tell he wasn't getting a signal, it was stressing me out. And so it was really important to me that he be able to have something that could make this work.
Okay. So then what did you do then, Melinda?
I started looking to see if there was some sort of product or something out there that we could use that would be easy to use and that would help to give a signal to this thing that accurately and each time, so that he wouldn't have to stress about it each day. And so that's when we found a product that was being used in hospitals. And from there, it was developed into a spray form that is just easier to use for the general public. And it has a worldwide patents on it. And it's been something that we've been really grateful to be using. And we're just kind of using it more for ourselves and started thinking that this might be something that could really benefit others.
So with Melinda's help, I've now got this heart rate monitor, and it actually works. And so I'm using it every day, and got pretty familiar with my heart rate and what it would do. If I knew what it would do if I was biking up a certain hill or, running a certain path, I could just had a feel for where my heart rate was. And I actually started feeling pretty good and signed up for another race.
And you weren't over with it. Melinda, now did you just go along willingly on all that, or?
I know it's something that he loves to do. And the doctors have said, this could happen again, whether you're just sitting on the couch. In fact, it's better if you're up and doing things and monitoring your heart, you're going to be more likely to catch it. I have to admit, I have a little bit of an addiction to, not the same way that Eric does at all, to getting out there and being part of these races. And so I signed up alongside with him, and we started training together, and that was a lot of fun.
Melinda started out running me, and I noticed some weird changes in my heart rate. I could not get it to rise like I used to be able to get it. I couldn't get it up as high as I had in the past. And then sometimes after the workout, it would drop sharply and then speed back up. And so my heart rate was being weird. And because I was wearing a heart rate monitor, I was aware of it. And we actually went to the cardiologist and explained to her what was going on, and honestly, she kind of just sent us home the first time. So we went back, and you start thinking you're just being weird, and you've got a weird heart anyway, so maybe it's just acting differently. But it kept being funny, and it just wasn't making any sense to me. So we went back a second time to the cardiologist, and she, I think she adjusted my medicine, my blood pressure medicine, thinking that might help, and it seemed to for a little while, but it kind of went right back to being strange. And so we went in a third time, and she ordered a test, which found that my heart was in trouble again. And that when they replaced the aorta, they re-sewed the coronary arteries back into it. And where one of those had been sewn back in, it had created scar tissue. And so it was almost completely blocked, and a heart attack was imminent.
Oh, no. And I guess, and I can hear my wife, Amy, in the background saying, John, you have to be your own advocate. With your doctors.
You really do. There's not a single person on this planet that is more aware of your body than yourself. And
even more so as an endurance athlete, you have even a finer understanding of it, because I know exactly of what you speak.
Well, that's what I tried to convince her of. I said, I know what my heart is supposed to do, and it's not. Like I say, it took three visits before she took me seriously that, hey, this guy's saying something's wrong, and he's not a hypochondriac or something.
Well, and I think that's what the key is knowing, knowing what's normal for you, monitoring yourself daily throughout your workouts, not only to, make your workouts more efficient and to help you reach your goals as an athlete, but to to know where your heart is. I mean, because that is something that you're using as you're exercising, and knowing where your zones are and what's normal for you and where your top end is. And when those start to change, you know, kind of evaluate what's going on here. Is this something I should be concerned about or not?
Listeners to my podcast know that I am an enormous advocate of heart rate training. And, you know, what started out as partially kind of a promotion for your product has really turned into something that I think as an instructor, it would benefit your students to hear this, you know, from the medical advocacy part of it.
I was just going to say, that's kind of the message of this last thing is I had to have open heart surgery again. The last time I had no warning, but this time, because I was wearing this heart rate monitor, I saw it coming, and I firmly believe that if I wouldn't have been aware of my heart rate, you know, I would have experienced that heart attack, and and who knows? So I'm definitely an advocate for people being aware of where their heart rate normally is.
You know, we talk about that a lot where, you know, when you do monitor your heart rate, even if you don't have an actual, there's probably a term for it, but a condition, but just having an understanding of your resting state in that, you know, if you've had enough recovery or not enough. And there's a young lady who takes my class, and she's telling me the other day about, man, I just can't get my heart rate up. Well, hello, you're overtraining. You know, well, I've been to about the last, you know, classes for about the last 3 weeks in a row. Well, okay, take a few days off, you know, and they're under, you know, and then they get that, the people have that addiction, you use the word, and I'll use it as well, that compels them to have to work out, and not realizing that, you know, taking a day off or taking some easy days, you know, take your dog for a walk or whatever, is really, really important. So there is a happy ending to this story where we bring it up to now. Tell us that, Eric.
I had this heart thing steal one race from me, and I didn't want it to cancel this other race. And so I guess it was about 4 months after my surgery, I went ahead and did that Ironman race, and I was slower. You know, I was able to complete it and feel good about it.
Melinda, tell us, what is ChestLick, your product?
If I had to define it using, you know, professional terms or whatever, I would say it's a newly developed conductive spray that is used to immediately and accurately receive the heart signal from your chest strap. So basically, using this product, you're going to be able to get an accurate signal from your chest strap to your watch, you know, every time that you use it, from the beginning, from the first time you spray it on and put it on. And even if you don't start exercising for another 30 minutes, you don't have to re-wet it. It's just going to work for you, and it's going to work until you take it off. So
even if you're a little furry, for the gentlemen out there.
Even if you men are a little furry, which I think us ladies like, but.
Doesn't help with the heart rate monitor.
No, it does not. Right. Okay. And it's something that you distribute through your website, and you're starting to get some distribution from local running bike shops. Is that right?
Yes, we have a local running and triathlon shop here that is a couple of the shops that are using our product right now to promoting it for us, and seeing what the how it's helping people, and then just through our website as well. And it's been really fun. We actually have had, we had a woman who had, was told by her doctor she needed to lose weight or she was going to be on diabetic medication. And she had about 100 pounds to lose, and her heart rate monitor halfway through that just kept going out on her, and she didn't have the money to afford a new one. She'd already returned it twice. She was extremely frustrated and found our product online and used it. And she said it immediately worked, and she was able to go back and continue working on that goal. And so, you know, I think if it's something that can help somebody to achieve their goals and at the same time possibly save a few lives out there, that it will be worth it. I know it's been nice, worth it just for me to have the peace of mind as Eric exercises, that I know that he is able to monitor his heart so he can, you know, enjoy doing what he does without giving me a heart attack.
What I think is cool is, you know, you sell it in a spray bottle, but you also have some little towelettes that you distribute as samples, and you have those available for instructors that are interested. How would they go about getting some of those?
I do. Yeah, I would love to give those out to anybody who wants them for themselves and for their class. They can email me directly through our website. It's at info@chestlick.com, and they'll be able to find a link to that on our website as well.
Now, guys, what really impressed me the most about this is because I've tried some of those, you know, those gels that you see them putting on the paddles mm-hmm. before they shock somebody on the TV. But this stuff, it's clean. You just spray it on. It doesn't stain your jerseys or anything. You know, tell me, how did that all come about?
Well, I mean, we tried it as we were trying to get my heart rate monitor to work. We tried the, you know, there's gels and there's lotions. And frankly, you know, I didn't like it. And so I didn't use it. I didn't like putting the goopy gel or a lotion thing. I was concerned about it, what it's going to do to my clothing, and how do I, you know, do I have to clean my heart rate monitor every time? I guess I'm kind of lazy when it comes to that stuff. So I wanted something that would work, but I didn't have to go through any extra process of cleaning, and I didn't want goop on me, basically.
Well, I love that I don't have to worry if I have somewhere I can wash my hands after I put it on. You know, if I'm running late to class, I can just quickly spray it on, throw it back in my bag, and I'm good to jump on the spin bike.
And you're not like me dragging your monitor out and trying to lick it after it's been fermenting in your bag for the last couple of days.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's how we came up with the name Chest Lick. Incidentally, it's...
Oh, I wrecked. The minute I saw your email, Melinda, I knew exactly what this was
for.
Yeah. No question
I definitely had a few eyebrows, and I actually had a lady at the Ironman ask me, now, what is Chest Lick? She's like, that sounds very provocative. She was this older lady, and when I told her what it was, she was like, that's really cool. I want to go check that out.
Eric, Melinda, I just want to thank you for being with us today and conveying what I thought was a very interesting story that everyone who is an endurance athlete should hear. So again, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you, John. And thank you for all that you do with your website and promoting health and awareness with heart rate monitors. And it's been great. I really appreciate all that you've done for us.
Yeah. Thanks, John. Thanks for having us.